Barbario's warning shot. Instead of taking cover and letting Barbario make a break, he'd forced the issue by coming straight down the alley at him. Barbario had no choice. He fired. The cop fired back. Sing Sing must have stepped in there somewhere, spoiling the cop's aim so that the bullet that should have found Barbario's heart hit his leg, and guiding the returning shot straight into the cop's nose. Eagle Eye went down as if he'd just remembered an appointment with the ground, and Barbario was away, cursing, bleeding, and scared. He'd never shot a man before, and he'd started with a cop. Quite an introduction to the craft. Sing Sing was still with him, though. The bullet in his leg ached, but Geraldine's ministrations had stopped the blood. The liquor had done wonders for the pain, and here he was, half a day later, tired but alive, having hopped halfway across a city so thick with vengeful cops it was like a psycho's parade at the policeman's ball. Now all I asked of his protector was a place to rest up a while. Not for long. Just enough time to catch his breath and plan his future movements. An hour or two of shut-eye wouldn't go amiss either. Thing was, he'd got that bellyache, the deep, gnawing pain he got more and more these days. Maybe he'd find a phone when he'd rested for a time and call Geraldine again, get her to sweet-talk a doctor into seeing him. He'd been planning to get out of the city before midnight, but that didn't look like a plausible option now. Dangerous as it was, he would have to stay in the locality a night and maybe the best part of the next day. Make his break for the open country when he'd recouped a little energy and had the bullet taken out of his leg. Jeez, but that belly griped. His guess was it was an ulcer brought on by the filthy slop they called food at the penitentiary. Lots of guys had belly and shit-shoot problems in there. He'd be better after a few days of pizzas and beers. He was damn sure of that. The word cancer wasn't in Barbario's vocabulary. He never thought about terminal disease, especially in reference to himself. That'd be like a piece of slaughterhouse beef fretting about an ingrowing hoof as it stepped up to meet the gun. A man in his trade, surrounded by lethal tools, doesn't expect to perish from a malignancy in his belly. But that's what that ache was. The lot at the back of the Movie Palace Cinema had been a restaurant, but a fire had gutted it 3 years back, and the ground had never been cleared. It wasn't a good spec for rebuilding, and no one had shown much interest in the site. The neighborhood had once been buzzing, but that was in the 60s, early 70s. For a heady decade, places of entertainment, restaurants, bars, cinemas had flourished. Then came the inevitable slump. Fewer and fewer kids came this way to spend their money. There were new spots to hit, new places to be seen in. The bars closed up, the restaurants followed. Only the Movie Palace remained as a token reminder of more innocent days in a district that was becoming tackier and more dangerous every year. The jungle of convolvulus and rotted timbers that throttled the vacant lot suited Barbario just fine. His leg was giving him jip. He was stumbling from sheer fatigue, and the pain in his belly was worsening. A spot to lay down his clammy head was needed, and damn quick. Finish off the southern comfort and think about Geraldine. It was 1:30 a.m. The lot was a trysting ground for cats. They ran, startled through the man-high weeds as he pushed aside some of the fencing timbers and slid into the shadows. The refuge stank of piss, human and cat, of garbage, of old fires, but it felt like a sanctuary. Seeking the support of the back wall of the Movie Palace, Barbario leaned on his forearm and threw up a bellyful of southern comfort and acid. Along the wall, a little way, some kids had built a makeshift den of girders, fire-blackened planks, and corrugated iron.